I love how everybody sits in their same seats, no matter if people are missing or not. Like, I was looking around, I was like, man, we got a lot of people missing today, but I forgot we got everybody, a lot of people are up at camp, right, the winter camp. So, like, you got the Thebolts, Tim and Andrea, and their son and daughter, and, like, the Gina and Tony, and the Danzas. But, hey, everybody's like, that's where those people sit, so let's not make sure we take their, you know, you want to move up to two pews, you know what I mean? I always said that we should put placards, like, on our little spots, you know what I mean? So that way people will know when they visit, oh, you know, Stephanie sits here. But I welcome you here today. If you are a guest, if you're visiting, you're an honored guest. If you're visiting with us today, if there's any questions that we can answer for you at the conclusion of this sermon, please let us know. I started last week and I started talking about how we're going to start to do a series of sermons. We're going to do a series of sermons on the cross, right? We're going to look at the cross of Jesus Christ because we kind of talked about last week a little bit in the sense that, you know, if you want somebody to have better attendance, if you need better offering, if you want better volunteering, if you need more teachers, if you need more ministry help, don't preach on those things. It's, you know, and I was listening to that gentleman in the podcast. He says you should preach on the cross. He said when people fall in love with Jesus, they'll have better attendance. They'll volunteer more. They'll give of their time and their energy and their resources. He says we need to get people back to falling in love with Jesus and not just attending because that's just, well, that's what we've always done. Sunday morning, let's get up and go to church because that's what we do without even really thinking about why we go to church, why we worship, why we pause at the beginning of the week to look up and to give thanks. And so last week we looked at part one. Part one was, and I gave you guys a list last week of various, basically, lessons that I'm going to try to put lessons for. And the first one was, why did Jesus endure the cross? Because God ordained it. Amen? God ordained it. That's the first reason why Jesus went to the cross. Today, we're going to look at the second reason. We're going to look at the idea between redemption and the cross, right? What's the connection between redemption and the cross? And that's what we're going to start with today, redemption. You know, redemption is not a word that we use in our vocabulary often. We know what it means for the most part, but it's not a word that we often use. But for those of us who may not know what redemption is, to redeem, the term is defined as someone who's going to pay the price to get somebody else out from a miserable burden that they have and to give them a fresh start. To give them newness of life. I mean, that's the basic idea of redemption. And to many people, maybe you've been addicted to something, right? Maybe you were captivated by something. Maybe you were held in bondage by something or in captivity, right? Brethren, those people usually, when they hear redemption, there's a form of excitement, right? They look at it differently. There's a great hope that goes along with redemption, right? Because a lot of times, typically, I've often said that many of the most dedicated people to Christ are those who fell the furthest. Right? And Jesus even talks about that, right? And so those who are dedicated more to Christ are those who fell the furthest. Have you ever heard that say sometimes somebody needs to hit rock bottom before they'll look up? Well, there's truth to that, right? Because they realize just how helpless they are in their despair. They feel defeated. Many even say, what's the point of living anymore? And they get to that central point. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that this idea of bondage of the Israelites in Egypt helps us to understand redemption. The first passage of scripture on the screen behind me this morning is Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. And in this passage it says, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will redeem you from their with my outstretched arm and with great judgments." Does that sound familiar with the definition that we have for redemption? Right? That somebody's going to pay the price in order to bring you out from under the miserable burden that you find yourself in and to give you a fresh start, to give you new life. Brethren, we could see that principle there in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Brothers and sisters, there's a parallel that we need to realize. Our lives as human beings have been shackled, have been handcuffed by this terrible thing called sin. Amen? Satan has been often called a taskmaster. Satan has been called our taskmaster because sinful tendencies and sinful desires are mankind's most unrelenting taskmaster. I mean, Romans 6:6 says that we are enslaved to sin, that we are slaves of sin. And so, brethren, sinful tendencies and desires are generally the things that what? They condemn us. They condemn us to unceasing labor. There's no reward. When you're living a life of sin and you're living a life that's separate from God, it brings pain and it brings remorse. It brings spiritual poverty. And so we need to understand, brethren, exactly what these consequences are when we talk about sin. We are unable to free ourselves. Amen. Is there any amount of good deeds that we could do to erase even one sin? There's no amount of good deeds that any individual could do to erase even one sin, let alone a lifetime of sin, in and of ourselves and in and of our own power. And yet God wants to redeem us. Friends and family, as you're here today, only when we realize that we are slaves of sin, as I said a moment ago, that Paul teaches us in Romans 6:6, only when we feel the burden of condemnation, only when we recognize our helpless despair before an almighty God, until then, we won't delight in redemption. We won't delight in what Jesus Christ has to offer us through the cross that he went to. Brothers and sisters, we must first feel the conviction of a sin. We must first feel the conviction of sin in the presence of absolute purity, in the presence of absolute holiness. That's what we learn about. That's what Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah chapter 6. And so, brethren, we won't seek to fix what is broken until you are able to recognize something needs fixing. I mean, isn't that the concept that oftentimes we need to think of? You won't fix something unless you could realize that it needs fixing. Never forget, brethren, redemption is the paying of the price to get somebody out from underneath the burden that they have, that miserable burden that weighs on their hearts, weighs on their lives, weighs on their chest, that keeps them awake at night, and brethren, and then able to give them a fresh start. That's what redemption is. Somebody who's willing to pay that price. The Holy Spirit would convict us. It would convict the world. And then and only then would give us the solution. That's why Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but I'm going back to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. And he's going to guide you into all that the Father has said and all that Jesus has done and all that Jesus said that the Father had commanded him. You know, if you think about it, if you have a white shirt or a white dress and you get a stain on it, but you don't realize you have a stain on it, what's the urgency to have it cleaned or to maybe even have it replaced? You see, until you're actually aware of the stain, until you're aware of your true condition before a holy and righteous God, then brethren, you're never going to desire or to seek to desire redemption. You're not going to seek the cross of Jesus Christ if you don't think you have anything to be redeemed of. And so we need to make sure that as children of God, we're out there proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, talking about the cross of Christ, talking how God ordained it, talking how what the connection is between redemption and the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're convicted about sin in your life and you feel the weight of being lost eternally, forever, because of the sin that's in your life, I want you to hear about the good news in these next five passages. Look at these little rapid-fire scripture. Psalm 130 and verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is what? Loving kindness. And with the Lord there's an abundant redemption. An abundance of redemption. Brethren, we need to seek out the Lord. You look at Romans chapter 3, what Paul said there, being justified as a gift by his what? Grace. By his grace. We're justified as a gift by his grace, though through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, justified by the gift that is his grace, and we receive redemption in and through Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the people of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. He says, But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who become to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, Do you see a common theme here? Do you see why we need to preach the good news? Do you see why we need to tell people what the Scriptures teach? And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, he goes to Ephesus. He writes a letter to the people of Ephesus. And he tells them in chapter 1 and verse 7, in Jesus we have what? We have redemption through His blood, for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of His grace. Friends and family, I'm here to tell you there is no redemption. Without redemption, there is no justification. Without redemption, there is no justification. Do you know justification is just a word that means to be made right? You will not be made right outside of redemption through the cross of Jesus Christ. You will not be redeemed if there. You will not receive sanctification without redemption. Sanctification means to be set apart, used as a tool, if you will, in the Lord's kingdom, in the church. You know, God sets apart things that are holy unto Him. That's why we call Him sanctified. And so, brethren, without redemption, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without redemption, we're still in our sins, and we're still hopeless. We're still under that burden. We're still under that taskmaster because we haven't had it removed from our lives. Only when you go into the waters of baptism are your sins washed away. Brothers and sisters, we must know and understand that Jesus gave His life on the cross. Amen. He gave His life on the cross to buy us off the slave market of sin and condemnation. I'm going to say that again. Jesus gave His life. He went to the cross to buy us off the slave market of sin and condemnation. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, if you fail to understand, if you fail to appreciate that simple fact, you will be lost. Because if you fail to realize that simple fact, you won't see the need for redemption. Full realization of what Jesus has done for us should cause us to love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. Full realization of what Jesus Christ has done for us will cause us to willfully sacrifice of our time and our energy and our resources for the kingdom, for the church of Jesus Christ. Brethren, as disciples of Christ, we need to spread the message of redemption to all of our friends, to all of our family, to anybody who will hear it. They need to know that their soul needs redemption. They need to know that the time to receive redemption is now. That it shouldn't be something that's put off. Tell them to be wise and to not blow this opportunity that they have to be saved. We know, brethren, that death ends all opportunity to receive redemption, amen? Death ends all opportunities to receive redemption. I know this because in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says all of us are appointed to die, and then after that comes the judgment. And so we know this, that we will all die, and then we will all stand before God in judgment and give an account of our lives, whether good or evil. Before I close this lesson down, brethren, I want us to make clear on something. I want us to make sure that we understand that redemption also in at the cross of Jesus Christ was to reconcile both Jew and Gentile, to make both parties into one new man. And so, brethren, before Jesus went to the cross, the Israelites of the Old Testament, we know that the Scriptures say they were God's chosen people through whom the promise of the Messiah would come and to make that redemption possible. Brethren, we know that the Jews were selected because of God's promise to who? To Abraham. God's promise to Abraham and likewise to Jacob, and or to Isaac and to likewise to Jacob. Brethren, that through them the Messiah would come. So you have Abraham who had Isaac, who had Jacob, who had the 12 sons of Israel. And one of those sons is named Judah. And that Jesus would come through the line of Judah. He would be known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord came and died, the Jews are no longer God's people, and we need to understand this. That's the reason there was a need for a new covenant. Today, God's people are called Christians. We wear the name of our Master, our Savior, our Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, there is no respect of persons, and no respecters of persons or nationality with God. For we understand that people from all nations, as they come to God, are equally welcomed to God and into the church. And so we need to remember what the Apostle Paul wrote, or Luke wrote, and what he was talking about in regards to Peter, actually, in Acts chapter 10. You guys remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter comes to who? He comes to the Cornelius, right? He comes to the Gentiles. He's at the house of Cornelius. And he says, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Brothers and sisters, God desires all his creation to be redeemed. Amen? He desires for all of us to be redeemed and for all of us to come to him through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." And you see what Paul wrote to the people of Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 14 through 16, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments that are contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." The ill will that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. Brethren, God has broke down the dividing wall by nailing the Old Testament to the cross. Brethren, as I close this lesson down, redemption is defined again as somebody who's willing to pay the price to remove somebody from out from under the miserable burden that they lived under, and to give them new life, to free them, to give them a new start. That's why last week we briefly sang, "Jesus paid it all." We know that it says that all to him we owe. So sin had left a crimson stain, and yet God washed it white as snow. So brothers and sisters, what does Peter have to say? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. He also says in 1 Peter in chapter 1, and I don't have this on the screen behind me, that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, but you were redeemed with precious blood, the spotless, unblemished blood of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if a person is going to have regular attendance at worship and Bible study, if a person is going to volunteer more regularly in various ministries and around the church building and in the kingdom, if a person is going to offer willfully of their time and their resources and to repent regularly of their sin, to live faithfully unto their Creator, as well as to proclaim the gospel, then they must fully understand. They must fully appreciate the magnitude of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. If they don't fully understand and appreciate the magnitude of the cross, you're like that person that has the white shirt or the pretty white dress that has a stain on it that you don't even realize is there. Brothers and sisters, we must fully understand and appreciate the cross. They must fully understand the consequences of sin and what it does to your spiritual well-being. They must fully realize that sin that is unrepented of, sin that is not washed away, causes an eternal separation from Almighty God. And so, brethren, the total realization of Jesus and the magnitude of what he has done on our behalf should cause every single person to drop to their knees. Drop to their knees to look up and to give thanks to Almighty God for the redemption we have through the cross of Jesus Christ. Brethren, this is only part two of a series of sermons on the cross of Jesus Christ. First Jesus went to the cross. He endured the cross because God ordained it. God, before the foundation of time, had put a plan in place to redeem his people before we were ever even created. And then, brethren, we have to understand the connection between redemption and the cross of Jesus Christ, which we explained here this morning. We'll continue the series next week. Maybe you're here today and you're wishing to become a child of God. You realize the sin that is in your life. You realize how detrimental that sin is. You realize that after death there is no more, there is no second chance. There's no way to make it right, because you can't get into Christ except through baptism, and death causes that to go away. And so, brethren, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, but you want to have your sins washed away, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy Son of God, you believe that baptism brings about the remission of your sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God adds you to the kingdom, brethren, if that is your desire, come forward as we stand and sing.